Kevin and Denise Brower, they're one of the early purchasers of the StormGuard franchise in 2013. You may know them now from their years of work around the area. And on this episode of The Business of Family Business, we'll tell their story, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who sponsors this program. Telling the stories of family businesses from across the region, I'm your host, Ryan Recker. And if you have a family business story to tell, make sure to reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. CMAconsult.com is their website. How did you guys get into business?
That's a great question. So in I came out of college and worked in corporate America from the time I graduated in the early 90s until 5 years ago. And I was traveling like crazy. I mean, on the road all the time. And
what did you go to school for?
I was in organizational communications down in Missouri State.
Okay.
So that's how I actually came to Missouri. I was from Iowa. That's where I grew up.
Organizational communication. What does that mean?
That means it's no longer a degree offering down at Missouri State because it was the early stages of the communications degree. But it's changed significantly now. But it was really just a communications degree, which I wasn't a good math guy and I wasn't a good science guy. So it seemed like the great place for me to start. So,
because I'm looking at all the different roles you have now, and organization's not one of them. For some reason that was left off, but it laid the foundation for where you are today.
Yeah, and I went into sales. You know, I was originally, the communications degree was about talking to people and being able to communicate and understand what people were looking for, which led to sales for me. So,
right,
and that's where corporate America came in. So Fastenal, and which was one of my starting points, and then in a small company with fabrication, and then with 3M's largest competitor, which was a tape manufacturer, and they kind of, you know, I just traveled a lot, and there came a spot in time where my lovely wife decided that the travel was enough, because I was gone Monday through Thursday, and we wanted to be a part of our community. You know, it's when you travel that much, you're transient.
Yeah.
You don't know your community.
How did you guys meet, you and Denise?
Well, we met down at Missouri State.
Okay. In college.
Yeah, I was in college. So,
yeah.
And actually, her sister came to a get together that was just down the hall from where my apartment was. And we were introduced. And yeah, long story short, was we went out on a few dates and decided that we kind of liked each other. And next thing you know,
it went from there.
Yeah.
Did either of you have family business owners in your family?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Both of you.
Both of us, yeah.
So you kind of understood the dynamic of a family business. You knew what it was like for someone to own a business in the family.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So Denise Brower from StormGuard, tell me about your side. Who did you have in your family that was a family business owner?
Well, I'll go back a little bit. I'll start with my grandmother. She owned and operated two Dairy Queen locations in Wichita, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
And she owned those with her brother.
Okay.
And my dad, as a young teenager, worked for her, which happened to be about two blocks away from my grandma and grandpa's house.
Okay.
And that's how my mom and dad met. Of course, the cute guy down the street working at Dairy Queen, selling ice cream cones. And that's how my folks met. Zoom ahead a little bit, and my grandmother wanted to try it on her own. She kind of wanted to see what she could do out on her own, not necessarily with under the franchise. And so she moved back to the area where she was raised and close to her parents and opened, it's called the Dairy Aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And they started building that in 1959, and it was completed, and she opened for business in 1960.
Did they sell ice cream, or what was it?
Oh, yeah. They sold ice cream and burgers and not necessarily health food, but it was great food. They had a really good menu. They sold things like chicken dinners and burrito deluxes.
Oh, sure. How long were they open for?
My grandmother had the business up until 1975.
Okay.
At that time, she decided to retire, and my mom and dad were looking for, they wanted to kind of the same thing, be in charge of their own destiny, call their own shots. They also liked the small town aspect of Greenfield. It's a, you know, obviously much smaller town than Wichita. And so we moved and they took over the operations. My parents ran that until my mom passed in 2008, and my dad and sister kept running the business until December of 2014.
Okay.
So quite a long time.
So they were able to take the company as your grandma wanted to retire, and they continued to work into it until very recently.
Yeah. Yes.
What was their best food, in your opinion?
Oh, well, best ice cream. Yeah. My favorite was butter pecan sundae. Delish.
You must have been popular. They said, let's go. That's probably the spot all your friends wanted to go
to. It was cool, and then it was not so cool because all your friends are there, and then your parents are hearing like all their conversation. They're kind of like following up on you, you know, and as a teenager, you're kind of like, it's good to have a steady income and a job, but at the same time, you know, mom and dad are kind of watching everything. So there were times when it was great and times when it was like, you know.
Kevin, let me ask you this. So you guys have a background of family members in the running and owning businesses. Did that influence you guys? Did you say, you know, maybe we would want to do something like that too?
It was a big part of it. And just back to what she said, too, one of the best parts was I got free food all the time from those guys. So anyways, had to add that in. My dad passed at a young age. So he was in business for a number of years, but he didn't start until he was older. In fact, he started about the same age I did in his own business, whereas her family were long-termers.
Right.
And they had been generational.
What type of business did your dad have?
The telecommunications business. He was a strategic partner for U.S. West. If he would have been around, in fact, I think when we decided to take this journey, which it really has been a journey, we probably would have tried to tackle something that was on our own or something that was similar to what he was doing. Whereas with him not being here, the guidance, we didn't really have that guidance, and her mom and dad were not at that stage to be her mom had passed, and dad was not at the stage to really help us from that standpoint. And so we really started looking at franchise opportunities. And so that's kind of what differentiated us between, you know, just starting up something fresh on our own and looking at what franchises might offer. So
yeah. So that was the family and being able to see that. When did you guys actually start to realize, like, this might be a better path for us? What year was that?
It was 2013. In fact, it was the summer of 2013. Some changes that were happening. And of course, I was a part of a big company, and you know how big companies can be sometimes with the restructurings and so forth. And I saw some really productive people in our business get restructured and moved out, which made me.
As a motivator, really.
Yeah, it really made me look at my circumstance. Even as productive as you may be, you don't always have control over your circumstance. And not that I have to have control of everything, it just. I saw the activities that were going on, and I wasn't high enough on the totem pole to have any kind of control over that.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I want to ask you about their backgrounds. Normally, when you hear of a story in a family business, it's they're talking about how they can take ownership in their parents' or grandparents' company. In this case, both of them came independently to the idea that maybe they want to start something different. Is that a normal path, or is that kind of a different path that some business owners take?
The normal path would be more what you talked about first is it's passed down from generation to generation to generation, and that's how most family businesses or most family business members end up in the family business. This is a little bit different. It's not. I've heard of it several times where the prior generations had their own business and then there was no family business or the next generation started a completely different business, but it is more atypical.
Or they didn't want to wait and the parents didn't want to.
I don't think I've come across that one yet. I'm sure there's a few that have thought about it.
Well, sure. What was the appeal of a franchise and why did StormGuard stand out to them? Kevin and Denise Brower, our conversation on the business of family business. Welcome back to the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We're joined with Kevin and Denise Brower from StormGuard here in St. Louis. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. Make sure to look them up and reach out if you know a family business that would like to tell their story on this program. And looking at the start of this business with Kevin Brower, this would have been about, you said 2013, 14, somewhere in that region?
Yeah, 14 is when we actually started. or when we bought our franchise.
With StormGuard?
Yeah, with StormGuard.
Okay, so why did you guys decide on StormGuard, and what appealed to you when it came to them?
At that stage, you know, it's interesting because it was a very young franchise. We were actually the third franchise in, so it was almost a new business.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did you find out about them?
You know, we used a broker. We actually came across a gentleman that was out of North Carolina that introduced us to it. And long story short of it, we looked at multiple different concepts. And one was a karate concept. There's some gym stuff. Mm-hmm. There was a visiting angels type.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't
home
actually
healthcare.
That one. It was a home healthcare type.
So you guys were open-minded, really.
Yeah, we were really trying to see what concepts made sense. And this concept, it was a very fragmented market. If you look at the roofing business, nobody can name a national player.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an interior disaster or something that happens, there's two that you can name right out of the chute, mm-hmm. no problem. But there's nobody in roofing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the market's super fragmented. There's lots of mom and pops. It's not very organized.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great companies out there, don't get me wrong, but it just had a lot of opportunity is what we saw. And the kind of the kicker was the guy that was in charge of talking to us. As I found out, he was in North Carolina. He grew up in Hiawatha, which is Cedar Rapids.
Hmm.
And so we had a common connection. We even played at the same golf course.
Oh.
He's a little bit older than me, but it just was kind of funny how that all came together.
Right. So for your sake, Denise, you guys were open-minded, you're looking and you're searching. Were you guys on the same page the whole time? I mean, did you both say this is the right one, or did you guys have to have discussions, and did you come to the conclusion that this would be the right one?
Oh, we had discussions, plenty of discussions. All the information was presented to us, and then we systematically went through and talked about the pros and the cons and the strengths. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we saw. And so we just slowly eliminated them. The reason that another reason that StormGuard was appealing to us was the return on the investment. We felt like it would be relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that you did not have to have construction or roofing experience. Of course, it would help.
Right.
But it was not absolutely necessary in mm-hmm. order for you to succeed. And we fell back on the franchise system for that,
mm-hmm.
for training. They had also done a lot of the groundwork that, you know, being middle-aged, we just didn't have time to start from the ground up. And mm-hmm. so we had that support of the franchise system.
So StormGuard, you guys decide on that. What happens after? So you guys talk to your broker some more?
After we decide on it, we send a big check off and then we just jump in. And then it's about finding a warehouse, getting vehicles, hiring people, doing all those things.
All the other parts to it.
Well, know what the crazy part is? You just don't realize how many things are taken care of for you when you're in corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
You have all these systems in place. You have the CRMs already set up, and you already know how to do it. You've got the human resources department. And let me tell you got to have posters. You got to have all this different stuff that you have no clue about.
There's always something.
Yeah. And, you know, you got to talk to your lawyers now about setting up the company. And it just, it was very, very overwhelming at first. And on top of that, then you got to generate revenue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that little piece while you're spending money like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And because the setup time in the beginning, you're hemorrhaging cash, and then you got to go make it.
What was your setup time?
We started, I started hard and heavy in April.
April.
Yeah, and then we were actually out in neighborhoods by June 1st.
June, yeah.
Wow, so you got up very quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, we weren't messing around.
It was quite a to-do list.
So
in our business, too, remember that, this time of the year, April through September are really the hottest. More the most important.
Yeah, you don't want to waste time.
Right.
Yeah,
there is
no
time to waste.
So was that just a flurry, no sleep, working 24/7 as fast as you can? was that just very demanding, I bet?
Yeah.
Incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
A little bit daunting. I kind of hate to use that word, but it was a little bit daunting. We felt like we went into this with a lot of background and knowledge. You know, we had seen the level of commitment that it takes watching, our parents. Mm-hmm. We'd seen the risk that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
But we also saw that feeling of a job well done. And we knew that we could do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of, excuse me, trepidation on our parts. But man, once you're in, you roll up your sleeves and it's up to you. So you're going to make it happen.
And we said at the beginning, 1 year, our saying was 1 year is a sliver in time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It goes by so fast that if you just get in and go, that time is going to pass. And you can't buy time. I mean, we use that saying as well. You can't buy time. You have to be in business for time to be successful.
When things were very stressful, Denise, did you say, I could be serving ice cream right now. I don't have to be doing all this stuff. I could be eating a burger, serving ice cream.
Honestly, there were a few times when I'm like, you know, I do know the restaurant business. I do understand that one, you know. We had decided it was a little bit too late. But yeah, I will admit, I kind of entertained that in the back of my mind a few times.
So is it almost like going on a family trip? So you pack and you pack and you pack. And then there's that moment when you think you have everything. And then you're going down the checklist and you're like, did we forget anything? This is before you open. Is there any moments where you did everything you could possibly think of and you still have fears that it's not enough?
Yeah.
Of course.
There was that for, gosh, the first 2 years.
Two years.
In the very beginning, of course, you have those checklist items.
Yeah.
You're supporting people's lives. It's not just us.
Yeah.
I mean, it becomes a family of people that you're working with.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it definitely kept us up at night for a long period.
Yeah.
Still does. I mean, there's still those moments.
You know, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I wanted to get your input on this when it comes to choosing a franchise. Because, you know, people think about the process that goes into it. And I think a lot of people don't realize all the other things that go into it, too. Like we just heard their story when they were getting off the ground.
So starting a new business for the first time is a little bit like the dog chasing a bumper and catches it and then realizes there's a car attached to it. What do I do with the car? I mean, there's no way to know everything you're going to encounter.
Mm-hmm.
There's surprises every day almost. And part of what a franchise does, a franchise takes a lot of risk out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't guarantee success, but they've done research on the market needs, so they are confident there's a need in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
They have put a business model together. They have thought about pricing. They've thought about products and services.
Mm-hmm.
They provide advice and counsel, and one thing they provide is a community of fellow franchisees
mm-hmm.
and corporate staff that help support. So you realize pretty quickly we're not just in this by ourselves. If you start your own business, you got to wrestle through all those things by yourself. And one thing that Kevin said is, you know, at our age, we had to hit this right.
Mm-hmm.
So they had no option but to be successful.
Yeah.
And so I think a franchise model served them very well.
So what was it like right after they opened the doors at Storm Guard? We'll hear about that with Kevin and Denise Brower up next on The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA Consulting. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We tell the story of family businesses, and this week it's Storm Guard with Kevin and Denise Brower. If you have a family business story you would like told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. Their website, cmaconsult.com. So where is Storm Guard located? Where's your warehousing?
We actually have a showroom that's down in Pacific, right in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
So we just finished building that out this spring, and it's got a window showroom and gutters and gutter guards and siding and all that good stuff.
Is that the same location as your warehouse where you store a lot of your materials?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is actually it has a yard back there with a dump trailer and all that good stuff.
So take me back to when you finally opened your doors. So you have... You're getting the storefront, and you're getting things open up, you have the sign up, and you're getting ready for the ribbon cutting ceremony. I'm guessing you had a ribbon cutting ceremony.
Nope.
So
I wasn't even in any chambers at that point
doors.
In time. The only ribbon cutting I had was Denise and I.
It was like a high five in the parking lot and thumbs up.
Pretty much.
That wasn't on the checklist.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you unlock the door. And so how did you at first try to get customers? What were you doing?
Oh, man. In this business, especially in storm business, we do a lot of inspections. And roofing inspections is what got us. And we got out and knocked doors. We went out and knocked knocked on doors and talked to people. We used our networks, the people that we knew, and we introduced ourselves to different real estate agents, insurance agents. But it was a constant on the go, and it was a continuous networking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, one of the most daunting things that I ever did, especially coming from where I did with all the business-to-business work I did, was knock on that first person's door. We do it. I mean, it's something that that's how you reach people, and it was just hard. It was a hard place to go from being in the world that I was in to having to go out and knock on a door.
And hot temperatures, and, you know, starting to get to the summer and everything, the way it's at.
But it was also the most productive, and I can tell you that it is, I appreciate it. I never knew I could do it, to be real honest, but we had to. This is what we what you got to do. You got to find people somehow, and if you aren't willing to go out and knock on a door and talk to somebody, then you can't be successful in this business. So,
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting.
So one thing we see this in most every industry, every business, a whole lot of people can deliver the service and do well, but there aren't very many that can go get the business in the first place. And that's what separates those who can run a business. They can go get the business.
How nerve-wracking was that, too? You spent all of this money, and you're just waiting for some customers, and you're nervous because you don't know what's going to happen next, and you're just hoping that you'll be able to get some business and drum it up early on.
It was pretty nerve-wracking, but I'll be honest. I mean, we got out there, and luckily there were some storms that had come through that weren't terribly old, and you know, we had good support from our folks and at corporate that came here with us, and they knocked on some doors with us. And yeah, we actually started taking off relatively early, and that was refreshing. It took a long time before we actually got to the break even point. Don't get me wrong, but at least we saw some revenues. We built our first roof before the end of the first month that we were open.
Oh, okay, great. So Denise, what was your role early on, and what's your role today at StormGuard?
Early on, I kept my job. I stayed employed at a separate location just because we didn't know. You know, we didn't know what to expect. And so, and the other thing was we didn't know if we could work together at first. And so, so we just, you know, I kept my job. Kevin ran the office. I would support him any way that I could. I would help in the summer times. And I had school year based employment.
Okay.
And so I would help him in the summers. And then it finally became apparent. He was like, I need you. I need you full time. So I need your help. So
the intention wasn't originally that once the business gets to a certain point, you'd be able to join in. You were still wondering if you guys had that dynamic to work together day to day.
But we really, we talked it out. We had a little bit of an exit strategy in mind. And we knew, roll your sleeves up and let's do it. Let's get this thing going. So
when you first started, Kevin, were you the only employee? You were one and that was it?
So
until you had your first job?
Actually, I had myself and I hired what would be considered a sales manager.
Okay.
We were both really just salesmen. And then shortly thereafter, I hired a person that was a production manager who actually had come from the industry, had several years and a background in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first, I had the other gentleman with me for the first 30 days, and then my production manager came in 45 days after.
Yeah.
And then we hired an office administrator about a month after that. And then it stayed that way, other than some salespeople that we were trying to hire.
When did Denise join in?
She came in part-time in 2015, gotten to a point that I needed somebody that had marketing that could spend time on marketing, because all the social media and all the different marketing things were just getting overwhelming for me without and doing the sales and all the things that I was doing, and I just needed help.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. It's the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. Dan Bean from CMA joins us with Kevin and Denise Brower from StormGuard. So typically speaking, you were knocking door-to-door residential. Were you doing any businesses or commercial at that point with StormGuard?
Yeah, we, you know, the first year that we were out here, we did all of Mount Pleasant Winery. We somehow stumbled into that opportunity and ended up doing all the buildings out there. And And it was through our networks. It was just people called us up, referral. And we happened to be in the right place, the right time, referral. And so, but commercial was never our, it's mostly residential stuff that we do. And we do a little bit of commercial here and there. But
it's like panning for gold. You found a good one in that
was
area.
That was a nice nugget.
That was exciting. So.
From there, I mean, you've worked on all kinds of different projects. And I guess we should probably establish StormGuard by itself. What's your day-to-day? What's your bread and butter of the services you offer?
So the insurance restoration we have done since the beginning, and that's what the business model is built on. Mm-hmm. Where StormGuard, when you start a StormGuard, you're going to be out doing insurance restoration, storm damage, hail damage, and such. In our particular case, it's evolved now to where we are also doing a lot of window installations. So whether it's replacement windows or fin, what we would call nail finned, or windows that for new construction type, we are not really that heavily into new construction.
But, okay.
Mostly doors, we'll do replacement doors, gutters, gutter guards. Hardy board siding, LP. We get in. We do a lot of CertainTeed products for vinyl siding. In fact, in our showroom, we've got the setup so you can actually see what fascia looks like, what a bird box looks like. You know, we have it set up so people can be educated on all the terminology that goes along with construction because a lot of times folks have no idea what they're buying. The way sales are done is bad. It just, a lot of it's done in homes. Mm-hmm. And so there's not a lot of examples of pulling the piece of siding away and showing that the fan fold that's behind it or the house wrap or, you know, all the different terminology that we use that sometimes the homeowner doesn't really know.
Right. What does StormGuard look like today? How many employees do you have?
We've got 9 employees.
Great. And what does your service area look like?
We service pretty much all of the St. Louis metro area. We don't go into Illinois ourselves just because we've never pursued the licensing. And in our territory, as franchises go, you kind of have a territory per se. But we are the only one in this area at this point in time. So,
what's that like, the review process going through it? I'm assuming you get mostly positive reviews, but how do you handle problems with customers?
We do. We get mostly positive ones. There have been a few concerns, and we just try to address it with them individually. You obviously don't want to barter over social networking, but
Or
social media, sorry.
Yeah, sometimes you find that there might be things that are out of your control, but you still want to make good.
And right.
Of course, you want to make sure the customer's satisfied.
Absolutely, yeah. And we contact them personally and talk them through it and ask if we can come back out or is there something else that we can do and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. We always answer our phone too. You know, one thing that we instill in the culture of our business is no matter what, even if it's a phone call you think you may not enjoy, we always answer our phone or we call back shortly thereafter. We don't run away from an issue that comes up. We run towards it. And, you know, the mark of a great business is not how you do when things are going great. It's how you do when you have a crisis or when you have challenges in your face.
Well, sure. That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel the need to go knock on doors again just for the throwback, the old feeling of when you started?
He does miss it. He does.
You know what's funny about it is when you're in this business, you look at roofs.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at roofs. I mean, come on, who's going to look at a roof?
Unless you're going to buy the place.
Right. You know? And if a person buys a roof, they look at it for the first 2 weeks and then they forget that they even had a roof until somebody brings it up.
Yeah.
So I do find myself, you know, I always look at roofs. So if I see somebody that has a shingle missing or something like that, I still will go up and knock on their door and just say, hey, did you know that you've got that up there? Do you want us to check it out? Mm-hmm. So even to this day,
you're paying attention.
I still go out and do it a little bit, but it's certainly not to the degree. My guys still do, but not to the degree that I used to.
I get it. Not that long ago, we had Winco Windows come in. The first thing they did was inspect our windows in our building here. So it's I'm almost sure. like a trade thing where once you're into it every single day, it pops out at you. You notice the things that other people don't notice.
Mm-hmm.
What about people that are considering things like solar panels? Because people keep talking about how they're putting up, you know, like Tesla and Elon Musk, they want to do like the solar, what looks like shingles, and they're trying to find the technology. Even in California, they're trying to change the laws where it's going to be required to put these panels up on the roofs. Yeah. So how do you guys approach new technology when it comes to your company?
Yeah, that's a good question. And those haven't really touched us here in the Midwest specifically, but I'm sure at some point in time they will. But, you know, we team up with manufacturers that support those things. And, of course, they're bringing that technology to us. Well, you should see the neat things that we're doing with some skylights. Oh, my gosh. I mean, we have venting skylights technology-wise now that you put on your iPhone and they will open up three times a day to vent all the hot air out of your house and close, and they got rain sensors on them.
Really?
So that they'll close. Oh, yeah.
It's
so
amazing.
Like in your upper area, it will just – and it will get that hot air out of your house, and you know, it's really, really cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, so there's some neat technology stuff that's out there. But, you know, the solar panels in our area that – it'll be interesting to see how that comes in, because there's so much dirt and debris and pollen and stuff that we have. I'm sure everybody's been sneezing lately, but
gumballs.
Yes, and yes. You know, efficiency in solar is dependent on whether or not you have a clean surface to work with.
Yeah.
And so Phoenix is perfect. Southern California is perfect.
Yeah.
Missouri, maybe not so much.
You know, it's funny how people can get excited about these things, but then you realize the logistics of it all and the locations you live in could change the effective nature of it. Because what you don't want to do is purchase one of these things and it's not effective and you don't get your money's worth out of
it.
Right. Exactly.
And the payback on those, I mean, that's a big investment. It's a big investment. But, you know, the technology is continuing to move. I mean, you can bet that there's going to be something pretty neat and innovative, and we try and really stay in front of it, because, you know, that's one of the reasons we built a brick and mortar spot in Pacific, because now you know we're here for the long haul, we're going to be around, and we can bring that type of stuff to the customers. So
So at StormGuard, you said you had 9 people, any of them family members?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So you have other family members in the business now.
My brother-in-law, Scott, he's our sales manager. And then our oldest son, Mitch, he works for us in sales. So.
Great. Did they approach you or did you approach them?
You know, my brother's a golf pro, so he was not anywhere in this category. So it's an obvious transition from golf pro to roofing, right?
Sure.
Kind of like my son was a musical theater major and went to L.A., so transition.
And now he's
the same.
Inspecting roofs for us.
But, you know, Scott was just at a stage where he was looking at advancing his career, and some things were changing at the course that he was at, and I needed some help, and, you know, it's funny. And
it was a good fit. It was a win-win for both sides.
Everybody has come together at times that we needed each other. It was never from a family standpoint, we never, and we had a complete exit strategy with him too, that said, if it doesn't work out here, no worries, because you're always going to be my brother first, no matter what. And, you know, whether we're successful together in this or not, you're brother first. And same thing with Mitch.
And the same thing with Mitch. And he had moved back from L.A. and was curious about the business, and we needed a sales position filled, and he said, why not? And we were like, all right.
And he was the number three salesman in the system.
Yeah. No, not last year. Makes you guys look good.
Exactly.
You're hiring the right people.
And that's exciting, you know. Yeah. One of the cool things, there's been a few times in the office where Kevin's in his office, I'm at the front desk, we're all working away on our laptops. It's quiet, and all you can hear is clicking, you know, of the keyboards. And we're all so focused and tuned into what we're doing. But it's just kind of those neat moments that you're working together. You don't even have to be communicating, but you're working together.
Yeah.
You're helping other people. You're promoting your business. It's just really cool. It's almost surreal at times when you have those moments that everybody's working really hard to make it the best. And it's kind of one of those pinch me moments, you know. It's pretty cool.
We live here in your community just like everybody else does. And we're not chasers. We don't chase storms. We don't go anywhere. We want to do business in our local neighborhoods.
So StormGuard as a brand continues to grow, but obviously you're still the same company in the community that continues to service the community.
Right. And the whole idea with StormGuard was to put all of us in local markets, because the storm chasers would come from out of town, swoop in, and they'd do the stuff that they do, and then they would leave. And there was nobody to back up any of the warranties or whatever. And so if we are good at what we do as far as building our businesses and putting them in local places, then eventually it's going to be very difficult for storm chasers to come in and take big pieces of business out of local markets.
I would add to that most people in their lifetime might claim once or twice on their homeowner's insurance.
Yeah.
Things change throughout the years. Even if you've had a claim and you've gone through some type of restoration process for your home, laws change, rules change, you know, products change. It's really important to work with a contractor, with someone that you can trust and someone that can guide you through the entire process. It's like Kevin, this is a great way to sum it up. And he says, we're the difference between full service and self-service. Mm-hmm. Full service will take you through the process, will guide you, will work with your insurance company, and we'll get the job done. And that's...
The insurance is there for a reason, but they're not necessarily going to be volunteering everything you have to request or look into it or know what to do. Yeah. And that's
right.
Why it's important for like a storm guard. One of the other things you mentioned is because of all the big storms that come through here, you're right. Every time there's a tornado or a flood or anything like that, all the agencies always warn you of watch out for the out-of-state plates that come in. They ask for money up front at the door, and then they disappear, and you never see them again. They're not people in this community. They're there to purposely hurt people. I mean, they prey on people in need.
Yeah.
So that's why it's important to have someone local to look and talk to something like that. And that's part of the, you know, being advocates of the community. That's
right.
Part of what you guys do.
Because you're vulnerable at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to know who to trust and who can you count on. And you want somebody that's going to be there and back up that warranty if you should have issues. So,
right. Yeah. Exactly. So, Dan Bean, what did you think about the story you heard here today about StormGuard?
Yeah, this is a story of a family business over three generations and going into the fourth for Denise, and over two generations and going into the third for Kevin. And that's a great story. The business, however, changed for both of them from their traditional business in the families.
Mm-hmm.
They started a brand new business. That's a little bit atypical. Normally, we'd see more continuity in the line of business. It just seems as though there's a good dose of entrepreneurialism in their blood, and that came out closer to middle age, but it came out, and they had a very good reason, very well thought out reason for choosing a franchise, and it's worked. They've worked hard, and it's paying off for them.
It's great. And you can still enjoy ice cream whenever you want. You just have to go and get it. You know?
Absolutely, yes. Got it.
Kevin and Denise from StormGuard, thank you so much for coming in, telling your story on the business of family business.
Thank you for having us.